Good morning. I greet you this morning with a verse from John chapter 15, verses 13 to 15. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we ask your blessing upon this morning's service, that your word would be spoken, that your spirit would indwell us as we speak, and that the word would be active for those who hear it. Lord, we thank you that we can do these services, that we can put them on the internet, and that people can hear them. We pray, Lord, that we would soon be able to meet again, together in person, and that we can fellowship and worship you in song and in word, because you have asked us to meet together and build each other up. But until that happens, Lord, we pray for strength, we pray for guidance in these times. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us this morning. Most of you may have gotten out of bed a little late today, just had breakfast, and are now sitting comfortably in your cushy chair listening to this morning's service. Many of us have adapted to a slower, different Sunday morning routine of having church at home or later when it's more convenient. We listen to the service laying back and drinking a coffee. It's much more relaxing, and I wonder, what would it take to get your attention today and keep it from wandering? There are many things in life that get our attention. TV, radio, books, work, advertisements, our smartphones, food, and the COVID-19. This morning there is someone else who wants to get our attention, and that's God. What are some of the things that we do to attract someone's attention? If you're interested in someone, you may walk by them. You make sure you walk a certain way so that you can run into them. You come up with excuses to talk to them. You may fix yourself up or dress differently because you know you're going to see that person. I know from experience that little children will try to get your attention by crying or yelling. Often older kids will try to get our attention by coloring their hair or by doing something that is not so positive. They may hit sometimes or start acting out in school by getting bad grades or getting into it with other children. The police, they light up their flashers and turn on their siren if they're behind you and want to get your attention. And that really does. Getting our attention often takes something that is not the norm or doing something different. And God wants to get our attention. In Acts, we can see how God got Paul's attention. And I want to read from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 19. Again, that's Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may again see and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Paul was a person of Jewish descent. He was a Benjamite and a native of Tarsus. He was also a free Roman citizen by his father's descent. Paul was under the teaching of a strict Pharisee named Gamaliel. Paul was himself a Pharisee that was one of the three sects of Judaism at the time of Christ. This sect included all Hebrews who separated themselves from every kind of Levitical impurity, following the Mosaic law of purity. The bottom line was, Paul was a very religious man. As I read, Paul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He even got letters from the high priest to be given to the synagogue so that if he found any who belonged to Christ, they would be taken as prisoners to Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 7, Paul had been given the approval of the stoning of Stephen. Paul was doing his own thing, going his own way, all in the name of God. But let's not get too hard on Paul, because we need to look at our own lives before God got our attention. What did your life look like before God got your attention? Or maybe he hasn't got your attention yet. Before God got my attention, I was walking my own way, doing my own thing, and thinking I was right, just like Paul. As Paul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. God wants to get your attention. Paul is walking through his own life, doing his own thing, and God got his attention, literally. Sometimes God has to knock us off our feet so we can stop, look up, and see Jesus. At this point, God has our full attention. It happens often when we are at our lowest point and being humbled that God seems to speak the loudest. It isn't that God has changed, but it is that God has our full attention. Where were you when God got your attention? Was it the time you lost that job you needed that he got your attention? Was it when the person you were so attached to and so in love with broke your heart and that God got your attention then? Was it when you went through an illness that you didn't know how you would make it, that God got your attention? Was it through the death of a loved one that God got your attention? God not only gets our attention through things we perceive as negative, God can also get our attention at the height of what we would call success. God at times uses the circumstances of life to get our attention. There are things that are happening in life that are good and bad. God uses them all to get our attention. God getting Saul's attention resulted in him becoming a new man. He had an encounter with Christ. He crossed over spiritually from death to life. He went from being a religious person on his way to hell to becoming right with God. God wants to get our attention because God wants to know us. He wants us to know him. God wants to get our attention just to get it. He doesn't want to just get our attention. He wants us to be drawn to him. He wants us to know him. God has all kinds of ways of getting our attention, and it's because he wants us to ever have a relationship with him. A relation like he had with Adam and Eve before they ate the forbidden fruit. For each one of us who has a relationship with God, he used something different in each of our lives that would be specifically for us to get our attention. And for Paul, it was a direct encounter. Now that Jesus had Paul's complete attention in verse 6, he tells Paul, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." I bet Paul didn't protest this point. The men traveling with Paul had heard the sound, but didn't see anyone. I think this is also highlights the fact that when God is dealing with you, it's not always obvious to those around you. They don't seem to understand what's going on. In verse 9, it says that for 3 days Paul was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Not only was the immediate encounter with Christ humbling for Paul, but also the results of that encounter left him unable to see or eat or drink for 3 days. I know what it's like just to be thirsty for one day, but for three, that would be something else. This was a humbling time for Paul. He went from being Mr. I'm going to do this and I'm going to go there to, could you please show me where the bathroom is? In verses 10 through 14, it reads, "In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision, 'Ananias.' 'Yes, Lord,' he answered. 'The Lord told him to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he had seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight.' 'Lord,' Ananias answered, 'I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name.'" Ananias was saying the same thing many of us say, "Lord, I don't even think that even you can save that guy or that girl." This only highlights the greatness and the ability of Jesus Christ to change any life. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the peoples of Israel." What an awesome verse, because when God gets your attention, you know what he wants to do? He wants to use you. God not only got Paul's attention so Paul could know God, but God wanted to use Paul to make a difference for Jesus Christ. And God wants to use you to make a difference also. Everyone has a story, and if you open up to share your story, you will be amazed how God uses you to touch the lives of others. There are people who can relate and connect to you because of what you've been through and through similar circumstances that you've seen. You can share how God used some failure, some circumstance, or another person to get your attention. It may mean the difference between someone knowing God or not. Paul's sight was restored, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit and was baptized as a sign that he had received Jesus Christ as Lord. As a result of God's getting Paul's attention, he became one of the greatest missionaries of all time. And he was used to write most of the books of the New Testament. Many lives were changed and are still being changed as a result of Paul's life-changing encounter with God. What will the result of God getting your attention be? God wants to get our attention because, first, he wants us to know him. Second, he wants to humble us so we will walk in a different direction where he wants us to go. And lastly, he wants to get our attention because he wants to use us to make a difference. How will God use you this week? Amen.